sea reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in on you, I'm in on you, where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus.
We're so happy tonight to welcome you to the EBC website and welcome you to our online Good Friday service, the 10th of April, 2020. And as we take the time tonight to celebrate the fact that Christ died for our sins so that we could be forgiven, it is my hope and my prayer that for the Christian tonight, that tonight's message will be a message that will simply disencourage you, that will remind you of the love that was displayed on the cross where Christ's blood ran red and our sin was washed white. And I'm praying also that those that may be listening tonight, that maybe you are unsaved, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven if you were to die today, you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I am praying that tonight, after the message, you'll understand your own need. You'll realize how much God does love you and what Jesus did when he died for you to make it possible for you to be forgiven. And it's my prayer that you'll get saved this very day. You know, I think back a year ago to our Good Friday service, and I'm reminded of actually two sisters. For those they may be listening actually right now, Sally and Caroline, they actually started coming to our church a few weeks prior to Easter with their family. And through the course of services and sharing the gospel, they had family that had gotten saved, that had made that decision to trust Christ. Well, on Good Friday, they too both made that decision where they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it's my prayer that again, that maybe someone tonight, you're at that place where you're finally ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm praying that tonight you'll make that most important decision. You know, back in January, as I planned out the calendar year for 2020, I really thought that the plans I had in place were actually really good, almost perfect, if you will. I mean, we had so many events and activities planned, even surrounding this Easter weekend. I had carefully went through each and every month and in detail drew up what I thought was going to be a perfect year. Pardon the pun, but things looked perfect in 2020. Well, all those perfect plans changed, at least in our part of the world, just a few weeks ago. Now I'm not really sure what I can plan for or even what to prepare for. And maybe you can relate to the disruption of today. Maybe you too had some plans for this coming year which looked to make 2020 in your eyes perfect. Well, tonight as we come to this Good Friday service, the 10th of April, I can't help but to think some 2,000 years ago, there were a group of faithful followers of Jesus who too thought that the future looked perfect. After all, they were close companions of Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the one they had been waiting for and now were in the very presence of. If you remember from last Sunday's message in the Gospel of John, they were with Jesus when he entered into Jerusalem triumphantly as a king in John chapter number 12. In their eyes, things could not have been more perfect. And then in a matter of days, everything changed. Their perfect plans fell completely apart when Jesus was betrayed in the garden by Judas. He was arrested by a band of men, an officer sent from the chief priests and Pharisees. He was falsely accused by the religious leaders. He was beaten beyond recognition. And then their triumphant king was crucified on the cross that Good Friday. I'm sure that at the time, things did not seem to be going as planned for the disciples. Well, tonight, as we take the time to remember and reflect upon the greatest Friday in human history, Good Friday, we're once again reminded that though our plans we make may not turn out as planned, we can realize Jesus' plans are always perfect. Why? Because Jesus is perfect. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to ask you to open them to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4 tonight. If you have your Bible again, open to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 16 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 4, verses 14 through 16. Again, as you're making your way there, I want to welcome those that may be listening to our service tonight for the first time. Welcome to our Good Friday service. Welcome to the Ebenezer Baptist Church website. And I want to encourage you that we're going to actually have a message on Easter Sunday available as well. And you can simply come online like you've done right now and click on the link for the date for Easter Sunday. Or if you'd like to, we've got messages from the past that you can listen to as well. But again, we want to say thank you so much for tuning in tonight, listening in. And we pray that tonight's message will be a challenge and an encouragement to you. Hebrews chapter number 4. Verses 14 through 16, we read here, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let me ask you tonight, what do you automatically think of when you hear the words Good Friday? Well, if you're like me, I think of the cross. I think of the incomprehensible suffering of Jesus as he bled and died on the cross of Calvary. I think of the nails being driven into his wrists and feet. I think of the crown of thorns being placed on his brow, the humiliation, the mockery, the complete and utter evil that was on display by many that gathered there that day. But most of all, I think of my own sin. I think of how I deserved to be there, and yet he took my place so that I could be forgiven. He loved me so much, he was willing to die in my place. And though we need to be reminded of these things and can't help but to think on these things when we think of the cross, the crucial reality in looking at the cross is not simply to see the physical features of it or the things that were going on around it, as important and significant as they are. But the important thing to see when you look at the cross is the spiritual significance of it. And that's exactly what this passage helps us do today. This passage is not an invitation just to look at the event. It's an invitation to look at Christ himself and what he was accomplishing there on that Good Friday. And though this may have seemed to his followers as a complete disruption to all their hopes and dreams, this was all part of his perfect plan. Again, as we look at this passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, we are quickly reminded that this here is an invitation. And this invitation is twofold, if you will. Notice at the end of verse number 14, where it says, "Let us hold fast our profession." And then at the beginning of verse number 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly." It's important to point out here that the word profession in verse 14 means confession. And the word boldly in verse 16 means to draw near with confidence. These two phrases are two clear commandments, invitations, if you will, one to the believer and one to the unbeliever. For the believer, we're told to hold fast to our confession, which assumes a statement of trust in Christ. It's assumed here that one has made that profession or that confession, that a person has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible makes it clear that for a person to be saved, there comes a time where they truly understand, they believe that they are a sinner in need of salvation, and they confess it, they call upon Christ, they make a profession where they ask him to be their Lord and their Savior. Well, this is what this is saying here in verse 14. If you've made a profession or a confession of faith in Christ, where you've placed your complete trust in him alone to save you, you're trusting nothing else, only Jesus to save you from your sins, then the invitation here is to cling to that confession, to hold on to that confession. Jesus is the Son of God, and we can be comforted today by being reminded of the past. Verse 14 is a reminder to the born-again believer that our past profession or that confession of faith in Christ gives us confidence that we are saved, and that will never change. We've done exactly what the Bible says. We've asked Christ to save us. This person who has made this confession, again, has connected the dots. They've taken all of what they have heard and what they have believed, and they have now completely and wholeheartedly trusted Jesus as Lord. Well, the second invitation in verse 16 is different. It says here to come boldly or to draw near with confidence. And what this indicates here is a moving ahead to the future. This is looking at someone who's been exposed to the truth or convinced of the truth of the gospel, but hasn't come all the way to full faith and trust in Christ, and therefore has not made a confession or a profession of complete trust in Jesus as Savior. This person has all the head knowledge, if you will, but yet has not what I call the heart knowledge. They believe it in their minds, but they have not trusted it with their hearts. They're missing salvation by about 12 inches. They've not connected the dots. To them, it's still religion in their heads versus a real relationship in their hearts. And I must warn you that this is the most dangerous of all places to be caught, in the middle. Convinced it's true and yet procrastinating on professing Christ as Lord. Can I encourage you today? Don't just stop there. Don't let go of it. Keep going. Draw near with confidence. Come boldly unto the throne of grace today. At the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make the most important decision of your life. You can place your faith and trust in Jesus as Lord for the forgiveness of your sins. Tonight, let me ask you, are you ready to finally confess Christ as Lord? You know, it's worth noting here that we find the same language throughout the entire book of Hebrews. Really, this is what the book of Hebrews is all about. You find in chapters 2, 3, 4, 6, and even all the way through 10, this challenge to come all the way to Christ. Don't stop. Don't stop at head knowledge, if you will, but come all the way to a heart knowledge where you place your faith and trust, your complete trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to save you. And in these three verses, we find three reasons why the believer should hold on to our confession and why the unbeliever should come all the way to Christ. It's interesting to note here that these verses all relate, and that's because of what we read in verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Again, this is the very same reason why we're told to, in verse number 16, to come boldly or draw near with confidence, because of Jesus. He is the one, the Son of God. And you say, well, why? Why come all the way if you're unsaved? Why hold fast to a confession if you are saved? Well, verse 14 tells us why. Because of Jesus, the Son of God. He's the reason to hold fast. He's the reason to draw near. He has no parallel. He has no equal. He has no competition. There is no match for him. The whole book of Hebrews is designed to illustrate the absolute superiority of Jesus, the very Son of God. All through this book, we are told he is better than the prophets. He is better than the patriarchs. He's better than the most noble of all Old Testament leaders. He's better than the priests. He's better than the angels. He's better than everyone. He has no parallel. He has no equal. And no one can provide and offer what he offers. He offers to us a better sacrifice, a better covenant with better promises. That's the book of Hebrews. He offers to us a relationship with God that is everlasting and joyful. Listen to me tonight. Christianity, it's all about Jesus. It's about him. Christianity is not ethics. It's not morals. It's not virtues. It is Christ. We would never say to someone, become a Christian for its ethical value, or become a Christian for its moral value, or become a Christian for its virtues, become a Christian because you can hang around some nice people, or become a Christian because we're charitable and you'll be a part of something bigger than yourself to make a difference in the world. Now, don't understand, when you get saved, a lot of those things happen in your life, but the real reality is why a person needs to become a Christian. There's only one reason, and that is simply to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord. Many religions can offer ethical improvement, moral improvement, virtue, charity, but only Jesus Christ offers the world complete forgiveness and eternal salvation. There's no one else who does. And if you remember the powerful truth we learned in last Sunday's sermon, where Jesus said in John 14:6, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus, the Son of God, he's the only way. So the writer of Hebrews is saying first to the saved, hold fast with confidence your profession of faith and trust in Christ alone to save. And to the unsaved today, he's saying, draw near, come boldly, come all the way to Christ, because he alone offers salvation. There is no salvation in any other. Sinners, listen, we all require a savior. Sinners, we require a mediator. We require a priest who can actually bring us to God, a reconciler who can join sinful man and holy God and bring them together. And there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And we find that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. So in verses 14 through 16, we're told why Jesus is the only way. He's the perfect way. And the first reason we find in verse number 14, because Jesus is the perfect priest. Look what again what it says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What does the Bible mean by using the phrase a great high priest when describing Jesus? Well, this phrase simply means that Jesus is unmatched. He is unparalleled. He is superior. He is perfect. He is flawless, transcending all other priests. And there were tens of thousands of priests in Judaism in the Old Testament. There were many, many high priests, but there's only one great high priest. You know, it's interesting here to know that this phrase is found nowhere else in the Bible. Why? Because Jesus is the only one worthy of such a title. So what is it that sets him apart? Well, notice again in verse number 14, the Bible says a great high priest that is passed, and that word passed literally means or passed through into the heavens. That's exact. And listen, this is absolutely one of the most important statements made in the book of Hebrews. Why? Because every priest in the history of Israel up till now passed through something. They passed through a sequence of areas in their ministry. All earthly priests passed through certain barriers or through certain curtains, whether it was in the tabernacle or in the temple. They passed through certain areas to finally arrive into the symbolic presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, a place found in the temple or tabernacle where only the high priest could enter once a year to atone for the sins of the entire nation. So all the earthly high priests who went into the Holy of Holies entered only once a year. They had to sprinkle the blood to atone for the sin of the nation, and then they had to leave immediately. Otherwise, they would die. So they passed into a tabernacle made by men on earth. They passed into the Holy of Holies in that tabernacle or in a temple, again, constructed by men, which was symbolic of the presence of God. But the earthly priests never got beyond the earthly temple. They went through three areas. They started in the court, where sacrifices were made. They went into the holy place, the temple or tabernacle, and then they went into the Holy of Holies. So there were three barriers, three areas. And it's interesting to know that there was no chair, or there was no bench, or nowhere to sit in the Holy of Holies. Why? Because the high priest, who was a sinner, was not allowed to stay in the presence of Almighty God, who is sinless and pure. But it's so important to understand that the Bible says that the great high priest, who is Jesus, he didn't pass through a curtain in the tent. He didn't pass through a curtain in a building. He passed through the heavens, verse 14 records. And again, the word heavens is plural. Now, just to give you a quick lesson on what this means here is the Bible speaks of three heavens. You find it throughout the Old and New Testament. The first heaven is the atmospheric heaven. This is the sky where we find birds and clouds. Then there's the second heaven. This is the stellar heaven. And this is the starry space where we find stars, and the moon, the sun, the planets. Then there's the third heaven. This is the eternal abode of God. This is God's dwelling place. And our Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this, the great high priest, went through the atmospheric heavens, through the stellar heavens, and into the eternal abode of God, the very presence of God. He presented his own blood shed on the cross to sprinkle on the heavenly mercy seat, according to Hebrews 12, 24. And then he did what no priest ever has done. He sat down in the presence of God, and he's still there today. He's still there in the presence of God this very day. He offered a sacrifice before he went in, but not for himself, but for us. He sacrificed himself. He did what no priest ever done or could ever do. He stayed not in the symbolic presence of God, but in the very real presence of God in the glory of heaven. The book of Hebrews makes much of this, and for the sake of time, we can't go into all the spiritual or the scriptural support of this, but the emphasis is made over and over again on the completion of his work. It was done. Nobody needed to do it again. Again, he was the only fully acceptable priest who entered into the heavens. He passed through the heavens. That's what verse 14 is saying. He was the perfect priest who passed through the heavens and took his own blood, as it were, into the very Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, and brought satisfaction to Almighty God. And he stayed there to ever live and intercede for those who have received him as Savior. How amazing is that? Jesus is the perfect priest. So believer, why hold on to your profession or your confession of faith? Unbeliever, why draw near into full faith? I'll tell you why. Because there's only one Christ. There's only one perfect priest. Not only is Jesus the perfect priest, but he's also the perfect person. Look at verse number 15. He says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was a perfect priest because he was a perfect person. As a man, Jesus can and does sympathize with our weaknesses. He's able to understand us. Jesus is a very real and personal God. In fact, he has sympathy for us. Remember, he came into this world as a man, and he suffered all the things that humans suffer except one, which is sin. The Bible records in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to thirst, to have no place to call home, to be lied about, to be mistreated, to be abused, to suffer, to sorrow over the loss of a loved one, to be rejected, to be abandoned, to experience mental and physical anguish, to feel all alone, to bleed, to hurt, to feel pain, and even experience death. And yet, despite it all, he never sinned, which made it possible for him to be the perfect sacrifice once and for all, because again, he was and is the perfect person. You know, Christian, today, we need to hold on to our profession of faith with confidence. Jesus Christ is Lord, and his payment on the cross was complete because he was and is perfect. For those who have not fully trusted Christ as Savior yet, draw near to him tonight. Come boldly, come all the way with confidence to Christ, and find grace in your time of need. So tonight, as we take the time to celebrate Good Friday, we are quickly reminded why we call it good. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the perfect priest, he shed his sinless, perfect blood on the cross of Calvary so that we could be forgiven once and for all. Jesus is the perfect priest. He is the perfect person. And lastly tonight, I want you to see that he is the perfect provision. Look at verse number 16. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." If you want to do an interesting study of Scripture during your days of isolation, go into the Old Testament and go all the way back to places like Psalm 89, where the Bible says, "Righteousness and justice," this is speaking to God here, "are the foundation of God's throne." Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. You can go back to Ezekiel chapter number 1, and you'll see fury and judgment and fiery wrath being stirred up at the throne of God, about to be unleashed on sinful, rebellious man. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4, and we see a vision of the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4, very much like Ezekiel 1. Go to the great white throne at the end of the book of Revelation. You'll find a throne of judgment, a throne of justice, a throne of righteous wrath, and rightfully so. And as you do this study, it's interesting to know that the blood of animals could not pacify the wrath of God. They could not satisfy his justice once and for all. The blood of animals could not change a judgment throne. But because of what the perfect priest, who is the perfect person, did on the cross of Calvary on that Good Friday some 2,000 years ago, you notice in verse number 16 that we draw near now, not to a throne of justice, not to a throne of judgment, but to now a throne of grace. Jesus transformed the throne of God into the throne of grace. And what we receive when we go to this throne is mercy and grace to help in time of need. All we will ever find at the throne of God is grace. The word grace means unmerited or undeserved favor. It's a gift. We receive something we simply do not deserve. The Bible says at the throne of God we can find grace. We can also find mercy, which means we don't get what we do deserve. Why? Because Jesus paid in full our sins. He paid for our iniquities and our transgressions. For the believer tonight, listen, again, hold on to your profession of faith. Praise him this Good Friday for the very fact that we are forgiven and going to heaven. Praise him for the throne of grace and the throne of mercy, that we didn't get what we do deserve, which is hell, but instead we were given the gift of eternal life, which we don't deserve. We've been given the gift of forgiveness. Again, praise him for that tonight. But to the unsaved, listen, come all the way to Christ with confidence. Come to the perfect priest, who is the perfect person, who made the perfect provision. He's inviting you to this perfect place, again, which is the throne of grace tonight, where you can find the solution to your greatest need, which is the forgiveness of your sin. And listen, if you come to Jesus tonight, you will find grace, and you will find mercy, and you'll find forgiveness. You say, "Well, Richie, how? How is it possible for me to be forgiven? How can I know that I'm going to heaven?" Well, it's simple. As simple as ABC. First of all, you've got to A, admit. Admit what? That you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We are sinners. And what we deserve is death, the Bible says. And this death is being separated from God in hell forever. That is what we rightfully deserve. We have to admit that. We have to admit our sin separates us from a holy and righteous God. But not only have to admit that we're sinners, but the Bible says we've got to also believe. Believe what? That Jesus died for our sins and that he was buried and he rose again. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, the word saved means forgiven. We've got to believe that we need to be saved. We got to believe that we are sinners. We got to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and rose again. You've got to believe those things. You've got to trust what Christ has done. The perfect person, the perfect priest who made the perfect provision, he made it possible for you to be forgiven tonight. So we've got to admit that we're sinners. We've got to believe on Jesus, and then see, we've got to call on Jesus to save us today. We've got to call or confess. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, that's anyone, anywhere, anytime. Right now, this Good Friday 2020, you too can make that most important decision. You can simply call on Christ and ask him to save you from your sin. And the Bible says if you do it, you will be saved. Again, that word saved literally means forgiven. Jesus wants to show grace and mercy to you tonight. He wants to forgive you of your sin and give you the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life, the promise of heaven with him forever. But again, you have to decide, will you accept his gift? So Richie, I'm ready. I'm ready this Good Friday, the 10th of April, 2020. I'm ready to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, if that's true, the Bible says we got to call upon him. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead you in prayer. For those that are listening, you say, you know what, I'm ready to be saved. I've never accepted Jesus. I've never asked him to save me, and I'm ready to ask him. I'm ready to do what the Bible says. I'm ready to call upon him. Well, if that's true tonight, then I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. But again, there's nothing magical about what I'm about to say. It's just helping guide you when you don't know what to say. So repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I need to be saved. I know you died on the cross for my sin. You're buried and you rose again. Tonight, I ask you to come into my heart and save my soul. Thank you so much for saving me. Help me to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, you truly believe that you need to be saved and you were truly trusting Christ tonight to save you from your sin, then rejoice, you've been forgiven. Wow, what an amazing Good Friday to know that you're going to heaven. And I want to encourage you, listen, if you're not ashamed that you made this decision, go to you're on our website already, go to the Contact Us page and send us an email. Share this wonderful news with us. Or maybe you said, you know what, Richie, I'm not there yet. I didn't make that decision. I didn't pray that prayer. I've got more questions. Well, go to the Do You Know link, click on it, and again, it will explain to you verse by verse from the Bible how you can know your sins are forgiven, how you can know that you're going to heaven. Christian, let me ask you tonight, do you find yourself this very evening, this Good Friday of 2020, in need of help? Do the current circumstances have you concerned? Are you weary and worried? Is your heart heavy? Have all your perfect plans for 2020 seemed to have fallen apart? Remember this truth, Jesus is here to help. He offers us mercy and he offers us grace to those that will simply come to him. Listen, Jesus is perfect in every way, and he is present in every way. Just simply come to him during your time of need, and I promise you, he promises you, he will be there. Let's pray. God, again, thank you so much for your love, for your word tonight. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that Jesus Christ, he is the perfect priest because he's the perfect person, and as a result, he made the perfect provision when he died on the cross, paying for our sins. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that he made it possible so that we could know that we're going to heaven. Lord, I pray for anyone that's listening right now that's still not sure that if their sins are forgiven, that after this message, God, they'll look on the website and they'll look deeper into their own decision, their own personal need to be forgiven. I pray for those that have been saved, God, that they would desire to now know you more. They would open their Bibles and begin to read and learn and just understand more about this God, you God, that loves them so much, you're willing to die for them. Lord, I pray for the Christian tonight that we'd be encouraged to be reminded of how perfect Jesus is and how present he is in our life and how much we can rely upon him, God. And thank you, God, for your gifts of grace and mercy that you bestow upon us daily, Lord. God, we love you. Thank you for this Good Friday. Thank you for the time to be reminded of the sacrifice that you made so that we could be forgiven. Thank you, God, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite everyone to join us this Sunday. As we celebrate Easter, we celebrate the best news ever that Jesus has risen from the dead, just as he said. I want to encourage you to invite your friends, invite your family, invite your neighbors to be a part of our Easter celebration. But until then, I want you to stay encouraged. I want you to cling to Christ, again, who cleared our consequence of sin on the cross of Calvary. And I want to wish you again a Good Friday, and God bless, and we'll look forward to coming together again on Sunday.